Welcome to Bible Strong. I'm happy that you're making Bible Strong lesson a part of your day. So let's get right into the lesson now. I'm going to be speaking on the subject, the inspiration and authority of the Bible. When Paul was writing to Timothy in his second letter, after giving him some instructions, he said in the third chapter of the second letter, in verse 15, he says, "From a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." And then he told Timothy, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. It is profitable for reproof. It is profitable for correction. It is profitable for instructions in righteousness, that the people of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." To understand the need of a biblical authority, we must first understand why it is needed. This takes us back to the nature of humans and their relationship with God. In creating the human being, God had something different in mind for them, more than he did for the other creatures. Humans are described as being made in the image and likeness of God. All creations are in some sense related to God, for all in one way or another obey him. Animals do so instinctively, such as fish that return to spawn each year in the place where they were spawned. These are unconscious acts of obedience, carrying out God's will by simply following the nature given them in birth. Only humans are able to obey God voluntarily by consciously fulfilling his command, as well as loving and worshiping him. In order for man to fulfill these commandments of God, it requires a knowledge of God, his nature, and his will that we are to fulfill. This is where problems exist. For one, humans are limited, and God is unlimited. It is therefore impossible for us to discover God. For humans to know love, worship, and obey God, it would be necessary for God to take the initiative to reveal himself to the creature. God's revealing of himself is known as revelation. Without God revealing himself to us, we would never know him. Who can know God? His thoughts are above our thoughts. His ways are above our ways. Who can know God? Who can explain God? Except he reveal himself to us, we would never have known him. This is the first step in the process of human knowledge of God. The second problem that exists is this: the problem of sin. When sin entered into the human race, it introduced a blinding effect. This means that humans became unable to recognize and understand correctly that which God would have known of himself. Like a cloud obscuring the sky, sin makes the truth of God obscure to the sinful nature. This compound problem cries out for God's initiative if he is to be known. There are two types of revelations: general and specific revelation. General revelation is general both in its availability to all persons at all times, and is less specific in content. It consists of God's self-manifestation through nature, through history, and in the human personality. The psalmist said, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hand." Listen as Paul speaks on this same subject. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, Paul said, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Paul also points to another realm of general revelation, the human personality, with its moral sensitive. He said that when the Gentiles, who of course did not have the law of God revealed to them to know what God requires, but Paul says, they show that the requirements of the law are written in their hearts. Right here is an element of God's truth that all humans possess. God's handiwork can be discerned in the patterns of history. One of the most remarkable of these is the survival of the Jewish people. Even people who do not know God's promise to Abraham must find the history of his descendants remarkable. Scarcely any group of people from the ancient time has been subjected to the opposition and persecution that has been directed against the Jews, yet they have survived and prospered. So we know now that God reveals Himself in a general sense, but that was not enough for mankind. At best, these sources give us only a vague or general information about God, such as His existence, His power, His faithfulness. But much more is needed if we are going to be able to worship Him, obey Him, have fellowship with Him. Sin's entrance disturbed the natural knowledge of God through the general revelation and broke our relationship with Him. Therefore, a more complete, better revelation was needed if we are to have fellowship with Him. And through history, God acted in several ways to make Himself known more completely to the human being. One of these modes of revelation might be referred to as divine speech. God spoke in various ways to prophets and apostles. Sometimes this was in the form of a vision, such as that of Isaiah in the 6th chapter. On other occasions, God spoke through dreams, as the case of Daniel. Sometimes He spoke through audible speech. At other times, He communicated by placing thoughts in the minds of the persons, so that the person's ideas were actually God's thoughts. All of these methods was God communicating Himself to the human race. But mankind needed more than just speaking. In history, God also revealed Himself through His mighty acts. While His speech is an act of God in the broadest sense, but what I'm talking about now are the acts in the proper sense of historical events. For instance, we have the Exodus with the Passover and the crossing of the Red Sea. We have the fall of the wall of Jericho and David's victory over Goliath. All of these were great instances of divine action. Here we find that God was demonstrating His nature in actions. But though God is not through revealing himself to mankind, God has another plan. I'll speak on that tomorrow.